Welcome everyone to another edition of the Dress of a Watch podcast.
Yes.
Yeah, it's perfect.
That's the good one.
Awesome.
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Sorry for that. It actually happened twice, you know, with the lockdown and all the stuff. It was the first test, and I see that I need to change my phone, yeah. I guess.
Yeah, it's no problem. It's no problem. I've had some issues with these live talks sometimes.
Yeah.
It doesn't work, and then you need to restart.
Yeah. No problem. You know, the lockdown was kind of, you know, the chance to test everything on that. So it's pretty interesting. Now it's getting a little bit more, you know, usual.
Yeah.
So I guess it's getting better for everyone.
Yeah, I think so too, yeah.
Yeah, so let's start. Pretty happy to have, you know, a chance to talk about Baltic today. So thanks for the invitation.
Yeah, you're very much welcome. I've been seeing a lot of cool things from you, and you've got amazing compliments from friends of mine that are journalists in the industry. And so I said, I need to talk to you and to hear your story, how it came about. And I just want to say, I really, really liked the combo you did with Worn and Wound.
Thank you.
The salmon dial. It looks amazing.
Yeah, we had actually a lot of very, very cool feedback about the collaboration. It was a pretty, long process.
Yeah.
Every time we do a collaboration or kind of a special project like this, it's always like a year and a half before, even sometimes a little more.
Yes.
So it's kind of a long process, and we are never sure, you know, what's going to be the feedback after all the process is going down to the release. But actually the feedback were amazing. And we were kind of surprised, you know, about that, because it was a new iteration, a new design for the two watches we were already selling since 3 years now.
Yeah.
So it was kind of a test as well. And so far, so good. So it's pretty cool.
Definitely.
It's pretty cool.
Definitely.
Yeah.
I think we can talk about this particular topic later.
Yeah,
on,
sure.
A little more in depth.
Sure.
But to start off, I'd like to hear from you. How did you get into the watch world? How did this watch spark come to you?
Yeah. So actually, watches came 10 years ago, maybe 12 years ago to be precise. I lost my father when I was young. I was 5, so I didn't have the opportunity to very know who was my father. Although the thing that he left me was his collection of watches, of course, and old cars and camera, because he was a photographer. So actually, that was, you know, for me a way to learn to know who was my father. And at 16, so 11 years after he died, I was kind of looking for something, you know, to get to know him. And I had a case bag, like a huge case, where there were 100 watches, more or less. And so I took that case. I open it and I try to, you know, gather information about all the watches that were in that case. And that was the start of it. So it was, you know, there were some pretty cool watches actually. So I got pretty lucky, you know, into that unfortunate event, which is, you know, life. but I had few Speedmasters, Navitimers, few El Primeros as well. So very nice, you know, watches at that time. And he was, writing about each of them. So he was actually taking all the watches he had, and he was writing about, you know, the price he bought them, the story, the people who were, you know, selling the watch. He was kind of writing everything. So I had this book as well, which is still in the office today. And it was pretty interesting, you know, to just, you know, go for every page and check every transaction, every switch he has done with other collectors. So that was the start. After that, I was, you know, like very active on boards, on internet. So it was kind of the way, you know, to get some information, because at that time, you know, there wasn't sufficient information on blogs and all kind of websites. So it was kind of the first way to get some information. And after that, I, when I was like 20, maybe, I started to do some meetings in Paris. So it was pretty interesting, you know, to come from, you know, an online world where you get all the information and you meet these people for the first time, showing the collection. And it was interesting to, you know, confront the two worlds, the two new worlds for me. So it was really, you know, like pretty deep for me, you know, that collection, because obviously it was something that was important for my family history, for me as well, as a, you know, a teenager trying to, you know his father. So it was pretty pretty deep. And after that, so I actually started the first company 6 years ago, which is a glasses company I still wear today. Yeah.
Very
and
cool.
Actually, like during the first company, I've met a guy, a French guy who's working in Hong Kong, who is now producing the watch.
Right.
And from that point, I mean, it was kind of a secret project to, you know, launch Baltic, but I never had the chance, you know, to be able to really do it.
Yeah.
And since that day, I was, okay, so we have now an opportunity to try some prototypes, try to do it. Let's do it, because it's, you know, it's an opportunity of a lifetime. So let's try and let's see how it goes. So we try some prototypes on the first two watches we released, so the HMS and the Bicompacts, based on a step case from the 40s, because that was the design I was really interested in at that time. And I'm kind of still, you know, interested in the 40s as well. And we tried the first prototype. We received them. It was really perfect, you know, for what we expected. So we ran the Kickstarter, and it was it went really quickly, you know, like pretty big, and we were, you know, surprised of the success we had. We put a lot of work as well in the preparation, because for 8 months I worked 100% of my time on that, to prepare the Kickstarter campaign in parallel to my other business. So it was kind of you know, a bet. We were, okay, let's try to do it. If it works, that's just awesome, you know, and we're gonna continue to do it. If it doesn't, well, we tried and that's it. So like, that was pretty a long process, you know, during that 12 years of, you know, like being passionate, meet people in the watch industry, start a first business, to try to, you know, make your own experience. And so Baltic is my second business, and it's like, it was the right time, I guess, to just try it. And we had some luck as well, because I really think that, you know, you need to have a little bit of luck in the project you do. And so we had, so I'm pretty thankful for that. So yeah, that's the story of how, you know, it started.
Very cool. Very cool. Yeah. Very, very interesting story to hear from you. And I feel that that it's also a very emotional story. So I'm very sorry for your loss.
No, it's fine. You know, it's life.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Yeah, you're absolutely right. But I think this is, in my opinion, I've been talking to a lot of people during life talks. And the amazing thing is that we all put a lot of emotions into the watches, and the watches are like these capsules that hold this emotion. And it's so
absolutely
cool. It's so cool to hear a story like yours, and then to see that out of the pieces your father left you, and the stories that he left you, that at some point you said, okay, I'll give it a try and create my own brand and create watches that come from this as well.
I guess, you know, watches are really focused on emotion for sure, because you know, it's always when you see Patek, you know, they were running, you know, the head on transmission. You never really own a Patek, you just, you know, transmit it. So it's I think it's really about that. It's really about you know, the watches are maybe one of the first objects that you never throw away. There is no watches ending, you know, in the trash.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a little bit trash to speak like this, but what I mean is you always transmit it to someone. You better give it, even if it doesn't work, you better give it to someone than just, you know, get rid of it. So it's really interesting that it's a real transmission object. And in that regard, it's a little bit hard, you know, kind of. You never lose it. It's always somewhere. So it's, I don't know, it's very interesting emotional object. And I think that people really get, you know, get that sense as well. And when you are trying to make your own brand, when you are trying to make your own watches, you need to, I think, understand that potential emotion as well. And trying to, I don't know, make it a little bit easy to, you know, like appreciate and share about it as well. And it's hard to do, but definitely it, you know, it has to be tried. And so it's what we do since 3 years, and we are pretty happy so far, and we have a lot of projects. So that's, you know, kind of the start still. It's weird to say that, but it's really still the beginning, I guess. So that's, yeah, pretty interesting.
Very, very cool. Just to answer a couple of questions, the people are asking if we can save the story. I will save this whole video, and then if you want, I can send it to you as well to share it. Yeah,
sure. Yeah.
So no worries for everyone who's watching. This video is being recorded, so don't worry. You can rewatch it and listen to the story Etienne just told about Baltic, and about, of course, his father and the story, how you got into watches as well. If we go a bit further to Baltic itself, you said you have the two lines that started off with the bike compacts and the HMS.
And hours, minutes, second.
And now you have the Aquascape.
Yeah.
As well, which probably is one of my favorite.
Thank you.
The bronze with the blue dial is amazing. I've always been a big fan of bronze watches. I've never owned one, actually, but I love looking at it. The color is so amazing. And the fact that it gets a patina over time is just a cool feature. What made you create this third line, and how was the process behind it?
So the bronze one?
Yeah. Well, yeah. In general, the line, actually, the Aquascape, adding this piece, this line to the, the existing ones.
Well, actually, so we started with the HMS and the bicompacts first. So they are inspired from the 40s with the step case. We really try to work on the profile of the case. That was kind of, you know, one of the main topic about the design of those two. And actually, we were hesitating at the beginning if we should go for a sports watch first or either do these two first. We were not sure because actually they were made, like they were made close, you know, at the same moment. It was maybe in end of 2015. And we end up with the HMS and the back compact first because they were a good basis as well for developing the range after, because actually this case is shared by both. If you take the Aquascaf, basically you have the same profile, you have the same dimension, and it was kind of, you know, logical evolution of the two first. So okay. They are not inspired from the same, you know, time as well. So they are kind of different on that point, but they share the same roots. And, you know, it's really important to get this, I don't know, line between every different watches you have in your range to be able to spot that it's a Baltic, you know, because it shares the same case or the same language, kind of. So we were really, you know, focused on having a sports range, but we were wondering if we had to do it first or first releasing, you know, the HMS and the bike compacts. And we actually chosen to do the HMS and bike compacts first because it was maybe a little bit more logical. But the Aquascaf was one of the first project as well. And for the next project, we are, you know, thinking the same way, kind of. We are always trying to stay on the same language, to stay on the same spot, you know, in terms of design, and trying to just, I don't know, like put something a little bit different in each. So that was, you know, the bronze was as well something that we wanted to try, but we wanted to have something a little bit more different. So this is actually why we've choose to have a bronze insert for the bezel, to have a crown guards as well, which is a little bit different. So you don't have properly the same case on the bronze than on the steel Aquascaf.
Very cool.
Which is a cool tweak, you know, on the to have a difference between two, those two, and the dial is not the same as well because we have the 12 369 numerals, which are actually the same than the one we used on the HMS. So yeah, as well, you know, there is some bridges on each models, and we are trying to I don't know, build, you know, that bridges to be able to recognize them more easily and have a coherence, you know, to be able to really have a, I don't know, a good read of the range. That's the idea between, you know, like doing each new release, and we will really focus on that particular point for the next releases, Yeah.
Very, very cool. I think also this is a big, as you already said, the big challenge is to have this clear DNA path to see that these watches belong together and that the story is with each and every project. And I think that's a very, very hard, and I feel that it's also a long process in getting there, that you have this one piece that fits in with all the others.
Yeah, there is a lot of questions to ask, you know, like before every prototypes, you have to really try to think a lot about the 2, 3, 4 next years before to come up with new models, because you really have to think long terms, If we do, you know, releases without having a long-term idea, it might be, you know, incoherent and a little bit weird, odd, you know, sometimes. So we really need to take our time. And this is actually why, so this year is a little bit different because we have kind of intense pace, you know, in terms of releases. We have a kind of a second end of the year, which is going to be a little bit dense. So that's for the best as well. But our idea behind Baltic as well is to take our time. We don't want to release, you know, like five or, I don't know, 10 watches a year, every year with a really, really quick pace as well. Because I think that in horology, you can take your time and you can have 2 years, 3 years even cycle for every watches you do. Maybe even longer, you know, like much longer. You can actually... we could end up not modifying the Aquascaf for, I don't know, 10 years maybe.
Yeah.
We're going to have some different ones, you know, coming as well for sure. But this one, the first one, has to be the same and stay the same for, I don't know. We're going to see, you know, how many years, but yes. That's going to be interesting to see. But we are really focused on seeing long term. And when you do the collection, it's always, you know, kind of pretty hard to wait as well, because we have a lot of projects. And sometimes you see the prototypes and you are, okay, let's do that, I don't know, next month, let's release it like as soon as possible.
Yeah.
But you can't. You can't, because you need to be like, you need to have a schedule where, you know, that's, particular watch has to be released in maybe 2 or 3 years,
yeah.
And it's hard to wait.
Yeah,
but it's important, I guess, and it gives you a little bit of, you know, you need to rethink as well. You know, when you do a prototype, a year one, in year two, maybe you're gonna have a little bit different input to have. So it has to take time as well.
Definitely, definitely. I feel the same way. When creating products, it's always very important to look at them a second time, especially when you've created them a long time ago, and then you see, okay, maybe you change just this this little part, and then it fits in, or it doesn't even fit in anymore.
Yeah. The pace is really important.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We have one question from Alexandre. The step case, he really likes the step case on the bike compass. Was it a challenge to find someone to create the step case?
Well, actually, it's not that this case particularly is not really challenging, you know. It's what I like, actually. It's pretty simple. It's interesting because, you know, the step cases have something a little bit special, I think. When you check some pictures of, you know, original step cases from the 40s, I thought at the time we were preparing the Kickstarter campaign, they were, you know, kind of modern watch. They look pretty modern, and you see as well that they are from other time. You see that they are really vintage as well, but they have kind of you know, mixed feeling. I don't know. It's modern and vintage in the same time, and it's simple. It's just sometimes perfect, you know. And I really thought it was, you know, kind of the sweet spot.
Yeah.
Between, you know, doing something vintage inspired, but without being too, you know, retro.
Yeah.
So it's kind of the sweet spot, and it still is a simple case, a pretty simple case, on which, I don't know, there is something a little bit special. So we didn't, it wasn't hard, you know, because sometimes there is brands manufacturing very complex case. Here it's not the case, and sometimes I really feel it's as well complex to do something simple, good, in the good way. But here it was kind of, I don't know, a good recipe between the modern take we wanted to have and something vintage inspired. So great. This is actually why we thought that was a good idea.
Yeah. Very cool. Very cool. And in terms of the straps, I'm a big strap guy.
Yeah. I see that.
And what I usually ask is if you change the straps on your watches, but in that sense, what is the essence of straps? What do you think in terms of adding the value to the watches itself?
Yeah.
Is this something that is also very important for you, or is it that the consumer can choose what he or she wants?
Well, for the first one, we have three different straps on which we can choose. Yes. We have another three straps that you cannot choose when you buy the watch on the website, but you can add them, or you can actually send us an email, you know, to switch between those two. That's doable. But we had kind of two times for the strap making. For the first one, we used, you know, the double stitch on the side, which is now pretty, you know, classic.
Yeah.
And for the strap as well, now I'm getting back to a very simple shape, but we are actually looking for new leather types.
Yeah.
New colors, new, I don't know, giving a new tweaks, but with old recipe as well. So we are now making sure to, because we are releasing actually in September, a new range of straps. And we are trying to have stitches with the minimum space between each of them. They have to be really, you know, tiny stitches, very on the side of the strap as well. And they are going all along the strap. So it's pretty classic shape of strap, but still, you know, if you wear it today, and if you love it today, I'm sure 100% that 10 years or 20 years from now, you're going to love it again, you know, because sometimes you have kind of trends, you know. You're going to love a bracelet day one and day 10. You're going to, I don't know, have a mixed feeling a little bit about it. And I really think that you need to have something really simple. And we are trying to really work on having a good basic and not trying something too different.
Yeah.
We are kind of, you know, conservative a little bit.
Yeah. That's okay. That's totally okay. I feel that it's also very important to give the consumer the whole spectrum of the brand. And
yeah, sure.
That's your style, then that's your style. And that's totally fine.
But actually, you know, like on the other perspective, but on the Bead of Rice bracelet, that was kind of, you know, as well, we try to have a mix between modern and vintage one. So, you know, the vintage one were folded.
Yeah.
Folded isn't like pleasant today, I think. But they had one really big advantages. They were comfortable because they were very lightweight.
Yeah.
Today in the standard of manufacturing, you need to have full, you know, links, which is much better, I think, in terms of quality.
Yeah.
But we really worked on the fact that they needed to be really thin, as much as possible, to have kind of, they are lightweight, but you can feel them as well, you know, and that's very important. And we had, you know, the quick release system, which is amazing because, you know, it's always kind of, it takes, you know, 10 minutes to remove like properly a bracelet without that system. and you're always, you know, sweating like, am I gonna do, you know, scratches everywhere? That's not possible, you know, and it's stressful kind of. So here it's just simple, like very practical. And that was kind of, you know, our modern take on like a very basic design of the 70s, which is the bitter fries. And I don't know, it's always interesting to take what were cool in the, I don't know, 70s, 80s, 60s, 40s, whatever, and do just a slight modification to be able to wear it cool today as well.
Exactly, yeah. That's very cool. Yeah, that's amazing, yeah. Definitely.
Yeah.
We have one question from Ricardo. He wants to know, what watch are you wearing today?
I'm wearing today two watches. As every day, I'm kind of, you know, weird, you know, for some people, you know, that cross me in the street. I have two watches on the wrist. It's kind of weird. Today I got my Aquascaf Blue, which is the first prototype we received like 3 years ago. So it's the 000, which is pretty cool. And it's this one always follow, you know, me somewhere. You know, I was diving with it. I was doing kitesurf with it. I'm kind of, you know, I'm not very paying attention, you know, to how I use my watches. Yeah. And for this one, but for the vintage one as well. So they are scratched. They are used, you know, kind of, but still in very good shape. And it's a good way to test it as well. And on my left wrist, I wear the new iteration we're going to release at the end of the month. Okay. So it's something that you will discover pretty soon, I guess.
But would you be so kind to show the first one that you have on the right wrist? So we can at least show one watch if
yeah, for sure, for sure.
Don't want to spoil anything for
no, no. Future. I understand. I'm just gonna remove it here.
Yeah, no problem.
And that's the one.
Oh, so nice.
Yeah.
Very cool.
So that's kind of, you know, the first one. I don't know if we're going to see it properly here. 000 on the bottom.
Very cool.
Yeah, that's the first one.
Very cool.
Collector, kind of. Yeah, so I wear a lot of, you know, like I wear usually one vintage and one Baltic every day. Yeah.
Yeah. This is also something I always wanted to ask the creators of watch brands and watches is, do you collect watches that are outside of the range that you create?
You mean like modern watches, like other brands, or?
Yes, yeah,
I do actually. I do. So I still buy actually. Not a lot, to be honest, because when you are working in your passion, you know, you have to split your time sometimes a little bit as well. So I still buy some vintage watches, maybe, you know, 2-3 a year. But I'm mainly, you know, like kind of looking for unknown things on eBay, you know. Usually not expensive. Because actually it's I think it's a little bit more fun, you know, to looking for something out of the box kind of, which is, I don't know, hiding somewhere on eBay, you know. I think it's still really interesting to do the chase, you know. Because after all, it's all about chasing something you don't have yet, but you are still looking for. So that's kind of I don't know, the remaining passion on, you know, chasing watches. I do buy modern micro brand watch. I just bought the Alios. I don't know if you are aware of Alios. Jason Lim, perfect guy, really cool. And I love what he does. So I bought the last one on more, you know, like Mavericks brand perspective. I'm having a thought to buy the last El Primero.
Yeah,
the A386 reedition. And I got something with that one because I had one.
Yeah.
And I sold it 4 years ago, 3 years ago, which was kind of, I don't know, not a mistake, but something that maybe I should have done a little bit differently, let's say. So that's kind of, I don't know, something I consider a little bit. So yeah, I still do collect, maybe a little bit differently sometimes, because I have also, you know, having the same feeling of chasing something when I receive my prototypes.
Yeah.
Prototypes now are kind of, you know, the next step for me in collecting, kind of.
Yeah.
And we are trying to do as much as we do. So we don't do, you know, hundreds of them every year, but still we are doing kind of on a constant pace. You know, we are receiving prototypes every year per batches. And that's kind of, you know, the other side that some people have, you know, brand owner.
Yeah.
But it's another things which is very interesting. But that's the comfort to have a brand, you know, kind of. So I buy less watches than before, but still, yeah. Which is actually kind of cool to see that the passion is still beating, you know, kind of.
Yeah. Definitely. That was exactly what I was, what I wanted to know, because I had some other founders of brands on the show as well. And I always missed to ask this question.
Yeah.
because I always wondered, if you can create your own watches, do you collect other pieces from brands?
Yeah.
Thank you for answering the question.
I think it's definitely important to keep the passion. You know, it's sometimes it's hard. You know, like every day is not the same. You know, it's sometimes you have different moods, different phase. But still, I think it's, you know, constant. You need to be creative. You need to be very open-minded as well. And if you feel that passion is going away in some way, you are more, getting at work in the mindset of just working, you know. So sometimes you have to maybe break a little bit that routine to still be able to have a little room for passion and keep entertaining that passion. To be able to find it again differently in what you do in your work in general. And we had a debate yesterday about that, which is pretty funny, you know, but still, I really think it's possible to keep the passion and work with it.
Yeah.
And it's, for me, it's I think it's a luck, you know, if you have, if you are lucky enough to do it, I think you just have to try it at least. Yeah.
Yeah, I totally agree. Etienne, thank you very much for
my
for
pleasure
to me and for telling your story and the story behind Baltic. It was a pleasure having you. We if you want, we can certainly do this again.
Yeah, for sure.
It's my pleasure.
Anytime.
Very cool.
Anytime. Thank you again. And thank you. So see you soon. And if you actually coming to Paris anytime soon, just let me know.
Very well. I will do so. Thank you very much.
Cool. Thank you, man. See you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. So this was my interview with Etienne from Baltic Watches. It was an amazing experience for me to be able to talk to him, and he's such a great guy. If you don't know the brand, or if you are a fan of the brand anyway, go check them out at Baltic Watches on Instagram. Give them a follow. They will definitely be happy about it. If you want to rewatch this episode, I will upload the episode on my Instagram feed, and then you can also have a look at the IGTV as well. So feel free to check it out again. Thanks a lot for watching. Thank you for the support, for tuning in. If you have any questions or suggestions for future guests, please send me a DM and I will get back to you.